Wow, did you see Pastor Zach just hoof that thing up here by himself? Man, let's get a flex. Let's get a little flex there. Oh, thank you, worship team. That was so great. Man, you know, that song, I never heard that song before. You know, we don't always know what God is doing, right? We don't always know, and that's okay. But, you know, you can know. You can know some of what God is doing. You can be in His Word, and you can know what God is up to. Amen? Amen. That was good. Very refreshing, guys. Thank you so much. Well, welcome Hope Church here. Welcome Hope at home if you're watching online. Thank you so much for being a part of our church today. We're in a sermon series in the book of Ecclesiastes that we started last week. I'm going to be taking us through chapters 2 and 3 over these next 2 weeks, this week and next week. In the book, which is a great book, by the way, so relevant for today. You may not think that, but you should read it. It has a lot to do with what's going on today. In the book, we find King Solomon, the wisest king in Israel's history. He tries to tackle the age-old question, what is the meaning of life? Woo! That's like a huge one, right? That is a big one. Solomon begins to examine life under the sun. And that right there, that's the key to understanding this book. It's that phrase. Solomon is looking for purpose through anything on earth, which is what it means to say under the sun. Purpose through anything on earth. And he starts out in chapter 1 just observing life. Pastor Jim talked about this last week. The sun rises, the sun sets, the wind blows from here to there, the streams flow to the oceans, but it's never full. And generations of people come and go. A lot of those people are forgotten about, most of them, right? So what in the world am I doing on this ball? And why should I even care? Why should I care? Solomon then applies himself to study, right? Last week, purpose through intellectualism. I'm going to study. I'm going to learn. I want knowledge. But as we found out last week, all the wisdom, knowledge, and intellect in the world was lacking in purpose for Solomon. And so he looks somewhere else. He finds himself taking another swing at it. He needs a mulligan. What Pastor Jim was talking about, needing a mulligan in golf last week, right? Just take another swing. Get a fresh ball. Start something new, right? His first attempt just kind of spun off into the trees. It didn't work out. So here's what I love about Solomon. He goes extreme, all right? He's going extreme now. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Solomon, you're crazy, man. Like he's this intellectual, and then all of a sudden the pendulum just goes whoosh. He swings all the way to the other side of life, and he completely throws off the intellect, and he dives headfirst into pleasure-seeking, right? It's like one day, he's wearing a suit and tie, and he's in the office, right? And the next day, he's at a Razorback game, and his shirt's off, and his chest is painted red, and it says, Woo Pig Suey. Woo! Yeah! Let's go! I mean, Solomon is just, he's trying it all, guys. We live for those moments, so don't we? Like you kind of work to play, right? I want to go to the game. Let's go. Clock out on Friday. Let's go to the game. We love that stuff. When Solomon says pleasure, when the Bible says pleasure, he's referring to any kind of joy that we can get out of life through amusement, right? Thrills, laughter, food and drink, materialism, all these things. Things that make us happy for a short amount of time. In the world, pleasure has a name. It's called In-N-Out Burger. Has anyone had that? Yes, someone's pointing. I feel you, brother. In-N-Out Burger. I eat one, and it satisfies my soul for like one day, or maybe even just 1 hour. I have had multiple In-N-Out Burgers in one day before. And I've been thinking about In-N-Out Burger for like 6 years now, ever since I moved here, because there's no In-N-Out Burgers here. Please, somebody build one in Bentonville. Come on. You'll make money here. I know you will. And some of you, you don't believe me. You think Whataburger's better, don't you? Yeah, I cannot agree with that. But it, to each his own. You can have your Whataburger. You can have it. But think about it for a second. Whatever you love, whatever it is, it only satisfies you for just a short amount of time, right? And then you want it again. What's that about? Because the flesh, this stuff, right? The flesh is the flesh. And the nature of flesh is to be unsatisfied. It's to need more all the time. It's like this unquenchable fire that if you leave it undisciplined, it can become a wildfire in your life. So Solomon here is suggesting to us, okay, let's just go have fun. Let's laugh. Let's eat our way through life as much as possible. Enjoy yourself. Okay, and maybe there's purpose there. Maybe it's there. So, you know, maybe you've contemplated that same notion in your mind, in your life at some point. You've contemplated this. If I could have everything I've ever wanted just for 1 week, have you ever thought that? If I could just have it all for 1 week, I think I might be a little happier. I think I might be. Or maybe if I could just do whatever I want, right? Just for a week and then forget it ever happened. Yeah. Do people still have this notion about life? Yeah, let's put it to the test. Finish the sentence. What happens in Vegas? I knew you would all know that. You know that. I know that. Oh, yeah, it just all stays there. It doesn't affect our lives. See, that is the notion of life and enjoyment and finding purpose in it. That's the idea here. Let's dive in and do everything we've ever wanted to do with almost zero accountability and no consequences. Right? Anything legal. All right, don't do the illegal stuff, all right? And just give ourselves over to the pleasures of life, because maybe that's what it's all about. You think? God just intends us to just enjoy life to the fullest, and then that's it, and then we die, done. All right, well, after doing all this stuff, here's what Solomon says, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 2. He says, "Laughter," I said, "is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish?" See, he did all this and it didn't accomplish anything. Verse 3, I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, which is foolishness. My mind still guiding me with wisdom, I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. Verse 4, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself, and I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me, I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart. Skipping down to verse 9 through 11 here, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. Verse 10, listen to this. I denied myself nothing. Nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor. And this was the reward for all my toil. Yet, when I surveyed everything I had done, all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was really gained under the sun. Living for all of that. Let's look at some of these verbs here in this whole passage. I laughed. I drank. I built. I planted. I made. I bought. I owned. I amassed. I acquired. You could finish that sentence in your own life however you want, but Solomon did it more than you. Way more than you. He laughed more. He drank more. All right? He built more. He planted more. He made more. He bought more. He owned more. He amassed more and he acquired more than any of us put together could ever do. If amassing great treasure could bring happiness, Solomon would have found it. If drinking and partying and fits of laughter were the answer, Solomon would have had all the entertainment and wine he could possibly have had. If owning more properties was the answer, Solomon would have bought up everything. If having a harem was the answer, it ain't, brother, all right? It ain't the answer, all right? Solomon would have told us, this is the answer, just have 1,000 wives. That's what he had, but he didn't find any happiness there. Listen, whatever you've placed in the more category in your life, more is not going to be the answer. That's what Solomon's telling us. And it never will be, and it can't be. Why? Ever wonder that? Why can't it be? I don't know. If the last thing you bought made you happy, then why did you keep buying more of that thing? Right? The last pair of jeans make you happy? I always want more jeans. You know what I mean? I like dark jeans. I think they look good. But I keep buying more. The last pair doesn't make me happy. It wears out. At least not for very long. It doesn't make me happy. I'll tell you why today. Okay, because everything in this world is perishable. It passes away. But you and I, we are not like the things of this world in a lot of ways. And here's the answer in chapter 3. This is the answer we need to grab a hold of today in our lives. Chapter 3, verse 11, listen to this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. C.S. Lewis, from his book, Mere Christianity, said this. He said, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it to suggest the real thing. Jesus said to us, my kingdom is not of this world. Right? Not of this world. Paul says to us, this world in its present form is passing away. Peter says to us, there's nothing perishable that redeemed you. Nothing perishable has redeemed you. Only the imperishable has redeemed you. Paul also explains that the body is perishable, but it will be raised imperishable. And once you are born again, death is then swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Right? So what that song said, we're going to be raised again with him. Right? This is the greatest mulligan you've ever received. The ultimate second chance to be raised to life with Christ if you put your faith in him. It's good stuff. You know, we're all looking for the real thing, the lasting thing. Real love, real relationship, real enjoyment, real peace that is lasting. I know that's what we want. That's what Solomon wanted to find here, but every time he tried to fulfill that with earthly things, things under the sun, right? He came up short. Every single time, never failed. And maybe you feel today, you're here, you're watching, and you feel today like you're coming up short too. You're coming up short all the time. You've looked in a lot of directions. And you just come away somewhat empty. There's a lack. There's more that you need. Listen, the pleasures of this world will always come up short because pleasure is not meant to satisfy the longing for eternity that God has placed in your heart. You see that? That's what the empty feeling is. That relationship couldn't fill it. The job promotion couldn't fill it. The house, the car, that expectation that came up short of what you hoped for. It's actually supposed to come up short. You get that? It's supposed to come up short. Let me explain what I mean here. It's like when God gave the law. Remember, God gave the law through Moses. Before Moses, there wasn't a law. After Moses, there was a law. God gave the law through Moses. The law was never meant for us to follow to perfection or to turn us into perfect people or to completely redeem us from sin. The law was not meant for that. In other words, the purpose of the law was not for us to never break it or else, right? We lose the game, right? It was given to us actually to reveal our lack of holiness, the sin in us, the sin that we're entangled in, those unholy desires for the things of the world that never seem to be satisfied. The law was supposed to lead us to the understanding that we need a Savior. That is the more. See, that's the more we need. If you look at Romans 3:10, Paul tells us there is no one righteous, not even one, not one person. And then he tells us again in Romans 3:20, he says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. See, even if you could fulfill it perfectly, you're not going to be declared righteous by that. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. See that? That's why God gave us the law. To make us conscious of our sin. Right? When you stand next to something that's perfect, you're like, wow, I'm not perfect. That's what it's about. Life's pleasures are exactly the same. They're the same. They were never meant to completely satisfy us. Right now, I'm all for some of life's pleasures. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for some of life's pleasures. They're a huge blessing for our lives. And we should absolutely enjoy God's creation. And, you know, the things He's made for us, absolutely should enjoy them. He wants us to. But all of life's pleasures, they come up short of what we imagined. And so what happens is we become conscious of the shortfalls, right? The fact that we are never satisfied should lead us to begin seeking something that can actually satisfy. But we just seek for it in the wrong place all the time. Right? You remember the woman at the well? And Jesus came to her. And she was just drawing water out. And He said, hey, if you ask me, I would give you something else. I give you the living water. And He tells her, like, you know, I know you've had five husbands. And the guy you're living with now is not the same, is not even your husband. Remember that story? He knew that she kept going to the same place over and over to find the same answer over and over. And it always came up short. Did you ever think about that maybe God is speaking to you through your displeasure? Maybe He's urging you to go deeper in seeking Him. Maybe in His great mercy, He's telling you that what you are doing is never going to satisfy you completely. So listen to what I'm saying this morning. When you go out and you try to find fulfillment, you know, and gratification through anything life has to offer, it is a good thing when you don't find it. It's a good thing because it should lead you then to the conclusion that it doesn't satisfy. Something else does. If you just stop and think, God is working in your life. You may not even have recognized it, but you're so displeased with something you're doing, and you don't even realize that God is talking to you. He's saying, this is not satisfying you, is it? No, it's not. This is not. What's the answer? Go back and try again? No. It's not the answer. See, the mistake that we make is just like Solomon, is that we think we need to taste the world in order to find satisfaction. You know, and even I thought I needed to taste the world. I mean, I could stand up here and embarrass myself with all the stupidity of my younger days. I thought I needed to taste the world, guys, and I did. I tasted it. I was raised a Christian. I still wanted to taste the world. And I'm here to tell you, it's empty. Just skip it, all right, you guys? Just skip it. I'm just talking to the youth, like, don't do all that stuff. Trust me. Trust us, the people that have gone before you. Just forget about it, man. You don't need to get drunk. Forget it. I did that. It was terrible. It was terrible. Never again. What does the Bible say? All right? It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You want to taste something? Huh? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people. For those who fear Him lack nothing. Yeah, amen. You lack nothing when you fear the Lord. Jesus tells us in Matthew, you know, you've heard this. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. He says, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But what's the next line? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Okay, listen. You better write this one down. This is the secret of life. I have it. I've searched for it. I have it, finally. This week, it finally dawned on me what the secret of life is. And so that's why I'm saying you better write this down. This is it. Are you ready? Big. Revelation. Happiness is a byproduct. Were you expecting that? Happiness is a byproduct. Write that down. Happiness is not found by pursuing happiness. You can't find it. It's found by pursuing righteousness. Oh! You guys, hold on. Just time out everybody else. You guys, if I would have learned that when I was your age, I wouldn't have made as many mistakes. I'm just telling you right now. Happiness is found by pursuing righteousness. It's a byproduct of doing what's right. Ah, oh. If you do things right in your marriage, you're going to be more happy. If you do things right, right? If you do things right in your business, you're going to be more happy. Because you did it for the Lord. Doing things right is doing things for the Lord. That's what we need to do. If you want to be more happy, do things right. Okay? The right way. What are some takeaways for today? You know, Solomon represents really the pinnacle of life. The pinnacle of what life can be under the sun, without God, just all the things you can achieve. Solomon did it. He's the pinnacle, the model of a lifetime of achievement, right? He got the Lifetime Achievement Award. He got the Nobel Peace Prize. He got it all. And yet he lost sight of his purpose. It's a place we can all get, you know, when we focus on work, pleasure, achievements, and retirement. Let's go. Does that sound like a football game? Yeah, I'm excited for the Chiefs and the Eagles. If I could be someone for one day, I might be Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. Sorry to all you disappointed Bengal fans. You beat us the last three times. So don't be too sad. Listen, we can focus on work, pleasure, achievements, retirement. And then what happens is you look back on life and you wonder, what did I do? Right? Well, you did a lot, but you're like, what you're saying is, what mattered? What mattered in all of that? And it can feel like life can be meaningless, just like Solomon said. And this is where he's at, you know, in his stirrings in his heart. What must we conclude today? The world is not meant to satisfy us, guys. If we were satisfied by the world, guess what would happen? We'd stop looking for God. That's what would happen. I have a feeling that even if we had heaven, but we had it without God, it wouldn't be satisfying. Now, as we close this sermon today, this is so interesting. Toward the end of chapter 2, Solomon kind of brings together everything here. He says, you know, the wise and the foolish, you know, they all share the same fate in the end. And death awaits everybody. We all are going to end up at the same place, you know, in the grave. And what's going to happen with all the things that we've accumulated? He doesn't know. So listen to Solomon's takeaway from his pursuit of pleasure. Chapter 2, verse 17. So I hated life. I hated it. Because the work that is done under the sun was grievous. Was grievous to me, and all of it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And we're going to pick up there next week, okay? Solomon comes away hating life. We don't want to get to this place in our lives. I don't want you there. I don't want you to hate your life. That's not what God intended for you. If you find yourself hating life right now, there's a simple solution. Stop seeking to be fulfilled by it. Yeah? Stop seeking to be fulfilled by life and start seeking to be fulfilled by the Lord. This is where true purpose is found. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. God, there's a lot of desire in all of us. We desire to do a lot of things. We struggle with that desire. And yet you've given us desire. Well, how do we deal with this, Lord? We have to learn, God, that there's only one thing that satisfies our soul. Our soul is meant to live on into eternity, and that's why nothing here can satisfy us. Only you can do that, God. Oh, Lord, would you help us to turn our hearts to you in every circumstance? We thank you for all the blessings in our lives. All the stuff you've given us, it all comes from your hands, no matter how much we have. God, if we could learn to honor you and give it back to you, it bless you. Lord, if we could learn to do what's right, if we could learn to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, the natural outpouring of that life is a life fulfilled in a happy life. God, we want that. But we have to first want you. And so I pray that that seed would be planted in our hearts this morning and it would begin to grow. And as we are displeased with things throughout the week, we would remember, God, that you are turning our hearts to you. In your holy name, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today, everybody. Have a blessed day. Please come back next week. Let's learn some more.